Now, that duty concept in the Orient means duty as given you by your caste. Arjuna was a noble, his duty was to fight. In the West, we don't think that way anymore, and this is why the Oriental guru concept doesn't quite work here and can't. Our notion of a mature individual is of a person who does not accept the sheer dictates of society as a child accepts them from a parent, but one who, through his own judgment, and I mean experienced judgment, not simply having gone to freshman class and heard that this is good and that's bad and then coming out on Professor Bebop's side, but through your own experience to have come to a mature judgment, a value judgment, you are then to work in terms of your own self-responsible judgment. And duty here does not mean what it means in the Orient. It does not mean accepting what's given to you. It means evaluating, developing an ego principle, which is the principle of observation of the empirical environment, your relationship to it, and making a judgment. That, in the East, is anathema. Just as here, in our religions, the notion, I am the eternal, is the great negative thing that we don't recognize, so in the East, the idea of the individual with a peculiar destiny of his own is a concept that does not exist. Freedom, the word freedom, moksha, in Sanskrit, means freedom from being anybody, liquidating your ego. Our idea is not liquidation of ego. Our idea is dissociating the ego principle from the little pleasure principle and having it objective and transcending egoism through the judgment of your ego function. Quite different idea. Now, many of my professor friends tell me students these days, they don't want a teacher, they want a guru. The guru accepts responsibility for the student's life, for the student's moral life. The student tries to be like the guru. Well, I answer my professor friends and say, no, that isn't true, because they don't have the virtue of an Oriental student. The virtue of an Oriental student is shraddha, absolute faith in the guru. I said, I've never taught a student west of Suez who had absolute faith in his professor. Criticism, judgment, that's what we ask for, and the student brings it. So this is a more complicated situation than that other. Nevertheless, reading these Oriental works, coming in touch with that Oriental world, awakens in us the notion of how the inward way can be followed, how it can be brought forward, up into action. Now, approaching my conclusion, I have one more little anecdote, and this is again about East and West, and it's the clue to how the East can really talk to us in what seems to me to be a most instructive way. I was over in Japan at a big congress, an international congress for the history of religions, and one of our leading philosophers here in New York, a charming gentleman who knew very little about the Orient, but he was over there to represent the West, he had gone with us to many Shinto rites, the Japanese Shinto religion. And he had visited many Shinto shrines. And in the Congress were many Shinto priests, one named Hirai, a very learned and wonderful gentleman, spoke English very well. And our friend said to him, he said, you know, I've been to a good many of your ceremonies now, and I've seen a good many of your shrines, but he said, I don't get the ideology. I don't get the theology. Well, Japanese don't like to disappoint you. And so here I just went, We don't have ideology. We don't have theology. We dance. Now, what that means is that they have gone past the concept system, and that's what we've got to do. They've gone through that to significant imaging. And the art image transcends meaning. You ask any artist, what's your picture mean? And he'd give you a look. It's it itself. If that doesn't talk to you, you haven't got your wires right. You don't ask what a dance means, you enjoy it. You don't ask what the world means, you enjoy it. You don't ask what you mean, you enjoy it. But it's all horrendous, you know that too. Life eats life. Life is terrific. And that is all part of the joy of it. It's through your active imagination that you bring up out of your abyss those concepts which you meet in dream and vision. Bring them into your life while you hold yourself to the world in which you are. You may break off temporarily for the purpose of getting deeper in touch, but anyone who breaks off with the thought of not coming back has really lost the boat. He can flounder. He can go up to Connecticut and buy a dog and a pipe and do little pictures and then think 10,000 years from now, these will be discovered and these will be the ones. This you can do, play that game. But to be in the play of this wonderful moment,